WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear.
Politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Yvonne and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Yvonne and Therese. Yeah. You see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo!
I love you all so much.
Adam and Eve.
We can see you now.
I know. And thank God.
Yeah. That's generally the response we get from everybody, but we keep it clean.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Brunch in the Basement with Yvonne and Therese. I hope you're doing well. Hey, Papi Chulo, good morning to you, sir. Everybody, I just want to remind you that you are watching and or listening to Brunch in the Basement with Yvonne and Therese on WJBR Internet Radio, the best brunch Saturday.
It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. It's a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone on the telephone waiting for your call when you don't call at all. It's a shame mess around with the man. It's a shame the way you play with my emotions. It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. You're like a child at play on a sunny day. First you play with her and then you throw it away.
Why do you use me? Try to confuse me. How can you stand to be so cruel? Why don't you free me from this prison? For sad my son, as a fool.
It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. It's a shame the way you
hurt me.
It's a shame the way you mess around with the man. I tried to stay with you, show your love so true, but you won't appreciate the love we try to make. Oh, it's a, got to be a shame.
You got
Like that is the Temptations. Well, actually that was the Spinners, the Spinners, but I'm just saying that whole Motown vibe of just like and the soulfulness, the I mean, honestly, let me know who sings like that on today. That's all. I could be wrong, you know. I mean, with all of that, you feel it. You feel the man's pain. It's a shame. Woo! It's got to be a shame. Damn. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to sweat the issue. But, you know, it's just the energy. Right? And I think so many other cultures have tried to duplicate that. And it's very rare that others can do, like, so be so giving of that, you know, so free with that spirit energy, giving it out like that. I'm just saying that, and maybe that's just my opinion. And I think that energy is called soul. And that's why our music is considered to be soul music. You're listening to WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. This broadcast is licensed via Live 365 and covers listeners in the USA through Sound Exchange, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. In Canada, through SOCAN and ReSound, and the UK, through PPL and PRS for Music. Just a reminder that the views, information, or opinions expressed during Brunch in the Basement series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WJBR Internet Radio. And I think that Fox News needs such a disclaimer, because they own some, and yes, this is my opinion, okay, and yes, it's time to feed the soul with Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese on WJBR Internet Radio, no RSVP necessary, and, you know, everybody is welcome, everybody.
Maybe now I got the flow, 'cause I know it from the start. Maybe when you broke my heart, that I had it all my days. I'll show you that I win. Your love of mine, all those times I said that I love you. Your love of mine.
Good morning, Levon. Good morning, all the basement dwellers. What's up, cousins? What's up, chatterboxes? Ulysses! What's up, Pop?
Letting all the people know that I'm back to run the show. 'Cause what they did, you know, was wrong.
and all the nasty things you've done. So baby, dance like that for me while I sing my song back home. Your life of mine. She said she'd never turn on me. Your life of mine. But you do, but you do. Your life of mine. All this pain you said I'd never feel. Your life of mine. But I do, do, do. Return of the man, return of the man.
They got you working today? What's up with that? What? You tell them that I said, no, don't do that because, you know. But, you know, what's up with that? I hope you're enjoying your work. You know, if you, my sincere opinion and my experience is that if you get along with the people at work, if you have at least one work buddy that you can kiki with, you know, a little bit, or at least someone that you feel has your back. That makes the work day go so much more smoothly. You know, if there's somebody at work that you feel got you, or that you, at least, even if they don't got you, but if they funny as hell, or, you know, even I guess if there's somebody you enjoy watching sashay across the room every now and then, hello, that can make the day go by, you know, as well, you know, nicely. The difference between being upset at work and being happy at work, sometimes not all the times, because depending on what you do and how much you love what you do. But sometimes it can be contingent upon who you work with. You know what I mean? They can't find nobody to work, but it's all good. It's all good. Good. You know, hopefully you're making overtime, you know, or something. You know, making something. Hey, Sagey. As for me, I have to work after the show. I will be doing work for the gig that pays, and I will not be getting paid an extra cent to do it. Nope. But it's work that needs to get done, and therefore we do it. Make it do what it do. It's got to be done. It's got to be done by somebody, you know? So, Sage, your name came up last night. There you go. Your name came up last night. I was hanging at the True Lounge, and there's a wall that I was like, ooh, I wonder what Sage could do with that wall. And then I was told to look closer. That Sage. Sage may, you know, do a little thing to that wall. So I am looking forward to seeing
what you do with that wall. I think we should all be looking forward to that, and the unveiling will be phenomenal. You know, folks, I'm trying to get myself back out into the world. Y'all know I'm a hermit. You're going to be there today? Oh, cool, cool, cool. Yes, yes, the mural wall. Your name came up, too, last night. We were talking about you, LaVon. We were talking about you and Bay and, you know, how me and Rezzy do. We just talk about the people we love. Isn't that a good thing? We talked about you too, Poppy Chulo. And now, since we're talking about Therese, here she go, y'all. Soon as I mention her, soon as I mention my girl, we were talking about the True Lounge, baby.
Oh, nice. Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday.
Yeah. How you doing today?
I'm doing today. I thought I'd set my clock and watch it to go off, but realizing that it was 10, I set it to 10:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. What a treat.
Wow.
Hey, Chulo. Hey, LaVon. Sagey.
I got to try something for a second, Rezzy, because you know me with my extra shit. So give me 1 second while I just, it's not like I'm trying to play a song on purpose. I just, no.
What are your fingers doing?
Yeah, you know, I did too much. Because I did. Let me just see something real quick. Make sure we got this. Nope. Okay, go ahead. We ain't ready.
That was dope.
Thank
what was
you.
That?
Ah, that's Bruno Mars, baby. I'll play it in a few. I you know, just.
Is that a new joint?
I believe that. I don't know. It's just a song I like. I don't know if it's brand new, comparatively speaking, because people put shit out. And you know who would know? LaVon. Is that new, LaVon? Flies Me? I think it was on his lap. I don't know, the way I used to. I just don't. But I'm trying to, you know, as you can see, I'm trying to get back out into the world a little bit. I'm crawling out of the basement.
Yes, and it was so good to see you yesterday. I look up and three and now four. I say three because I met Ron's husband last night. What a nice gentleman.
He's a sweetie pie. I like him a lot. And he also is a DJ, and we were definitely vibing on the background music. And I have to say, I was very impressed with his knowledge of every song that popped up. We were both singing every song. And then, of course, Jazz had to come over and was like, you know, this is my era music. And I don't know why she's pretending like, I was like, I know, Jazz, this is all you. This is all you. We get, you know, I'm just so thrilled that Jazz, you know, has received the soulfulness of the sound of the era, you know.
Yeah.
She gets it. She gets it. So that, I dig that shit. I dig that. Whatever it takes.
Yes. Every 5 seconds she'll go, remember this song? Not only do I remember it, Jasmine L. But that's my iPod. Of course I remember. I'm playing it.
She said, wrong. Do you remember it? You remember the song? That's funny. That's funny. Now, that's funny in that context that she says, remember this song. I could see her saying, I love this song. That's one thing, you know, like, oh, that's a nice, I love that song. But to say remember it, that means like you were there when the song came out. Isn't that, doesn't that mean that?
Yes, it does. Yeah, yeah. Like, and she pops like it was her song, and she heard it straight out the can or out the crate. I'm like, no, mm-mm. This song, and she literally made me reference songs and pull up the date that they were released, which seldom sometimes corresponds with the year she was born. But I digress. But I want to give a super, super happy heavenly birthday to Queen Maxine Tish Carter today, 84 years old. Amazing. Happy heavenly birthday, Mama Carter.
Aw, happy heavenly birthday.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your legacy you left here in Pop Carter.
Yes. Yes, we love us some Pop Carter, and absolutely we are all just a product of our ancestors.
You know, I wonder who decides when the days go, because today is National Autism Day, right? And the blues, putting a blue spotlight hurdles, the hurdles people that face autism for every day. Okay. Landmarks around the world will be covered in blue in recognition of those living with autism. It's also Peanut Butter Jelly Day. April 2nd each year, National Peanut Butter and Jelly celebrates a classic food favorite. Do you like peanut butter and jelly, Javon?
Yes. I haven't had like peanut butter and jelly like forever, but I have been known to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, it's one of my faves, too. And as I've gotten older, I like the crunchy peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay. Crunchy peanut butter, cold jelly. Mm. Nice ratios. Not too much peanut butter, not too little jelly, not a choking slide. And sometimes if I'm really feeling special, I'll put it in a little bag and set it to the side so it can have that lunchbox appeal. You know how it gets psyche.
Mhm.
Yeah. Peanut butter jelly time.
Absolutely. I don't know who makes that shit up, like what day it is. But yeah.
Or what? But I think it's a free for all. You know, we could just say, listen, today is put my pencil in my pocket day. Today is rub your shoulders day. And if enough people want to adopt it, bang, there it goes.
Exactly. I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. The hell?
What are you doing?
Stuff. Little fingers are going. I can't stop them. Okay, let's try it one more time.
1, 2, make you want to.
Now, have you ever been with a place? Take you downtown where they treat me like the main. Take you to the crib where you take your little face.
What's up there?
Shit, I'm going to show you later. Don't need a spatula, everything cases. Extra flavor. Go ahead, sprinkle some truffle on your mashed potatoes. I'm trying to love. Is you going to love me back? You only get what you get. Ain't you heard of that? Look here.
I don't ask for much.
Somebody this car, and you deserve. sonic smooth like a Mac. Float like a butterfly on every single track. And the only language that I speak, girl, is back. So once I give this game to you, I can't take it back. Hollering at you from a 1977 Monte Carlo. Hard act to follow. It's showtime, trying to boo you up like you see Apollo. You're welcome, bitch. Let's get down to business. You and me together. Woo, that's something different. Ooh, come on.
I don't ask for much.
I really don't, girl.
I just want what's there.
Look here.
I'll bring that fire and this fire, baby.
All you gotta do is this.
All you gotta do is meet me halfway there.
Just get it. If you don't know what we talking about, I'ma have the whole band help me spell it out. Yeah, if you don't know what we talking about, count this as you hit it, help me spell it out.
That's my favorite part, sorry. My system is broke. All
your
of that.
System is broke.
Yeah, yeah. Damn it.
But wow.
I think I need a new mixer. Fuck.
Uh-oh.
Fuck buckets.
How many channels is your current one?
4.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. She reappeared, didn't she? Pop. I know. I try to keep her, you know, but.
Pamela too much.
Pamela.
It's her full name. Pamela. It's even her last name.
Yeah.
Hey, you may be interested in Javon. I thought of you actually when I saw this.
I might be interested in, yes.
It's 7 decades later. That's 70 years
later.
The 1950 census gets released. So the federal law that kept answers on millions of census forms for 72 years went online Friday it's considered to be like a bonanza for historians and genealogists and just the merely curious. So at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, precisely 72 years after enumerators began knocking on the doors of some 46 million American houses and apartments, the federal government made public what they learned. So ages, incomes, addresses, ancestries, and a trove of other facts about 150 million people who were counted in the 1950 census. They just released that information.
Mm-mm-mm.
72 years later.
And what's the outcome? Like, what did they find? What was the majority of the people?
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to see.
Mm.
Because, you know, it depends on what you were looking for. That information about who existed, what existed 72 years ago. you know, there's some people that, you know, were living that's on the planet that just were never counted,
mm-hmm.
alleged,
mm-hmm.
or didn't show up. You know, we're talking 72 years ago. So if you were counted, let's say, if you were in the census back then, like, because remember, this is 1950. So now we're going to see all the secrets, allegedly.
Hmm.
So the New York Times is running this story right now. And I guess you'll have to, we'll have to hang out in the rafters and wait for
the outcome.
People. Mm-hmm.
Well, really, we could just call my grandmother and ask her what the hell was going on 72 years ago.
To see who they didn't want to exist 72 years ago.
You know, what's interesting is she's old enough to, like, my mother was present, but my
Absolutely.
Grandmother was a grown-up 72 years ago.
Wow. That's amazing. And so they don't count on folks, much less being a grown-up 72 years ago, and also still having today, still having their
faculties,
yes, be able to tell you, yeah, I know what that after this,
yep,
happened, and here's what it does. And oh,
look,
man.
I told you, and unfortunately, we won't be around for me to be able to say, see, remember back in 2020, where the hell we are, 2022, when I said it. But watch, in about 200 years from now, paintings, murals, and pictures of Martin Luther King is going to have him as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed dude.
Mm. Mm.
Because that's the white history will be whitewashed.
We better do what we can to say. I don't know. I'm thinking this way, though. I think that there is a tanning of sorts occurring.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we knew the tanning was going to happen. I think there are a hell of a lot of people that don't like it,
mm-hmm.
and there's simply nothing you can do about it.
But this
you know?
Is why they are fighting so hard to stop us from being able to vote. They want to keep that Supreme Court looking the way it has historically. I think, you know, that they are showing their true colors. They have taken off the white sheets, the hoods, and said, okay, damn it, we're not having all this blackness. and little white girls, you're going to have these babies, even if we rape you to make it happen. Look, because this is the thing. In some of these states, the laws that they're proposing, and some of these laws are passing, I haven't kept up with all of it, but you can't get an abortion. They're making it almost impossible. Even if the conception was a rape, if it's determined that there was an abortion by a rapist, right? Sue, but the family of the rapist can sue the person, the mother, for having that abortion. So the question was posed during one of these hearings, you know, as they discussed the law. Well, if the rapist himself can't sue his family, his mother, his uncles, aunts, they can, cousins and sisters and brothers, but can his wife sue?
Whose wife?
The wife of the rapist.
Well, who says he's married?
But if there is a wife.
Okay.
And
this actually was a question?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People are examining.
They are really talking about this, Therese. This is so, this is real. This is, And the answer was, well, yeah, she can sue. Technically within the boundaries of this new law, the wife of the said rapist could sue if she found out that her husband had raped someone, and that someone was going to abort the baby.
Fix it, Jesus. I just
I'm telling you.
I don't even understand the minds that would
And the thing is that as they discuss all of this stuff, there are women still voting for these people. And
what's
fuck
the
that,
game?
There are fathers of young girls still voting for these people.
I'd be a liar if I said I did not understand that there are some sick, twisted, diabolical people in this world.
There are some sick, diabolical counties and states.
Well, you know, the old saying, la cage fall, birds of a feather generally flock together.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it is what it is. The idea is you have to become one of them.
I don't have a lot of information about this because I worked up until the point that you saw me last night.
Whoa. Pause.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And even when I was there, I just received a very disturbing video while I was at your establishment. Anyway, so and I have some work that needs to get done today. But so I said that because on my way in, I was listening to some news, and was it last night that I heard this or the night before? I'm not really sure, but either way, I was working and trying to move to wherever I had to get to. I was in my car when I heard this. So it's probably at least pieces of it on YouTube at this point. But Joy Reid, who's one of my favorite journalists at this point, because she don't play, she'd be like, that ain't white. I mean, right? You know, she's one of those, right? She's like on point. Let me see. If you rape someone and they have the baby, the rapist can sue for visitation of custody upon release in most states. Yes, agreed. That's true. It's terrible. So
let me just say this last piece, though. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So forget crime. You know, this brings about a whole new understanding on crimes against women. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, or men, because I'm not gonna say that, you know, it can't happen the other way. But, you know, I'm just specifically talking about women right now. So this is a whole different understanding about what, you know, it's. Just the idea of being invisible is just bananas in so many ways.
And listen, Rez, it's not about us, black women. It's about white women, cause of the browning of this country.
Oh, I'm clear, but I mean,
and that I mean, if it, any woman, it's a goddamn shame, but. You know, I think it's one of the most disgusting things that a collective could do to their own.
Well, they don't respect or protect any of us. The idea is that if it's not green, it's got to go.
It's about this power shift.
It's depravity. It really is. It really is depravity. And it's unfortunate, you know, and but things like that do not sustain themselves for a long time. You know, you're not going to be able to tell someone who clearly does not want a child that they have to. There are all kinds of measures that people will resort to, unfortunately, or be forced to resort to be able to get their needs met, if that is the case. But you're not telling anybody on this side of the Kentucky border that if you are raped, because honestly, all conversations go out the window, and self-care is first. You can't make somebody do anything and have the right to. Some people don't care about a lawsuit. You know, it's just sue what? You know, quite frankly, when you sue someone that has nothing, nothing is lost. You know, and as of late, people are willing to put it all on the line for peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And you have a lot and don't care. So you're pressing up against a lot of people's emotional states right now, you know? I think the air is, you know, we're no longer fronting for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a pretty scary or it's pretty risky thing to try somebody when it's just much, much simpler to mind your damn business. Like, if it's not you, who's volunteering for somebody else's business today? Who?
I got my own shit, personally.
And generally, and you know something? I'm glad you said that because my grandmother used to say, if somebody's so busy mixing in somebody else's business, it's because they have no business of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't catch me in somebody else's business. You just won't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what? I am thoroughly enmeshed
in your own business. The business of taking care of your business. Thank you.
The business of business that has I'm not over here asking you, hey, can I get in your business? I'm not, and nor do I want to sit and listen to it either.
Not necessarily. Like
you got something going on, you want to share for a point of view, whatever, that's it. But I am no more inserting myself in somebody else's business or the like thereof. Really? That's a lonely place to be. Get you some business. That's it.
Yep.
If you rape someone and they have the baby, the rapist can sue for visitation and custody upon release. I'd like to see a MF do it. Can sue for custody. Child, please.
Yep.
First of all, there would be no child. Let's just be clear. There would be no child to visit.
Yeah, so it's something. So what I was gonna mention is, we were talking about census. We were talking about people voting, et cetera, et cetera. And red states and states where the constituents are not considered, I think. Especially if you think about historically black people in states like Mississippi, where my dad was from. And if anybody's from Mississippi and you disagree with me, again, this is just my opinion. Also, I know that Kiki Palmer recently did a movie called Alice, and I believe it's about kind of slavery all the way up until the 70s or something like that. This book I read, it's a biography, a black man. I can't think of his name. He was a radio DJ back in the 60s, 60s or 70s. But he was saying how he and his brother were split up because his father killed his mother. And so he had a younger brother. He was taken to live with an aunt who was abusive, and his brother, he didn't know where he was. Eventually, he found his brother, who was like a teenager or something, and he himself was a young man at this point. His brother was enslaved, and this is in the 50s or 60s, on a plantation in Mississippi. And he snuck his brother out of there. He freed his brother and brought him north. These things are very real, that there are still some versions of enslavement in different parts of this country. I don't know that it's still like it was in that book, like in the 60s. It was still very much going on, obviously 100 years after the emancipation, all right? The alleged emancipation. But anyway,
this is, you know, like, we were born in the 60s.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like seriously?
Yeah. So there are still counties of black folk in Mississippi and other rural areas where they have the right to vote, but their vote, you know, like they're politicians, their political figures don't even bother to come and see about them. And you know, like how you could go to, every now and then there may be the mayor in Newark will come out and do something, or even Cory Booker might come through and give something, you know, like also give back to the community and help business owners or you know, foundations or whatever to, you know, just to show face. But there are some counties of black people where there's concentrations of black people in red states that nobody's coming seeing about them, giving them any kind of incentives or anything like that. They're just still kind of sharecropping and things of that nature.
Right.
So I say this to say that your vice president and Joy Reid went down to one of those counties in Mississippi to meet with those people, with some of those people. And just, I don't know the full context of what she was there for, except to see, check on them. And from what Joy was saying is that the people were so excited that anybody was coming to see them that they had like a parade. It was like people were lined up in the street like, oh shit, what, for real? To make sure that the you know, the infrastructure bill with the Wi-Fi and all that other stuff, these people didn't have Wi-Fi and all of that. So to make sure that they know that this is coming and that this is due to them, that their roads are going to be fixed, that, you know, the money that's being allotted to that state is not to bypass their neighborhoods.
Hmm.
You understand? So that they know that this should be coming, and if not, this is who you call. This is how you make sure that you get what you're supposed to get.
Why don't you make it, it's easier to make it, like, don't put it on the people to follow up. If you know you're designating a block of money for certain things, why don't you do a federal mandate?
It is federally. See, this
yes.
is the thing. It's federally
no.
mandated, and those states have historically had money for school education for those poorer neighborhoods. And the money never gets there.
But that's because that's my point. Because when things are federally mandated, it goes from, you know, it's still protocol chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
It still goes from federal to give to the state to give to the city to disseminate amongst
right.
whatever the situation goes. That's the universal thing. If the feds wanted it, they don't have to come back to do it. It'd make it simpler. If they're making that the case, then part of the mandate in there should be they should identify the areas and make sure those areas are covered first.
Exactly. But Therese, all of those things are in there because it's the infrastructure bill is specifically for that, you know, for those areas that are lacking. And they must have oversight in some kind of way. But also, you want the power in your hand. You want to feel like, I feel like this, if let's just say the vice president or even a representative of the VP or the president, whoever, even if Cory Booker's people came and knocked on my door and said, look, we're doing this and this and this on in your community. And we have Mr. Such and Such of the governmental whatever agency to oversee it. And it's his job to make sure that the lights are on, that the streets are paved, that this and that, blah, 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 whatever the fuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And then I'll wait and see what happens. But if they give me a card and say, you call if this doesn't happen, it kind of makes me feel a particular way. Like I have more something. I don't think the onus is on the people, but it also sends the message that the people have power.
I understand, and I agree with what you're saying.
To some degree, it gives power to the powerless.
You understand?
I think it's of that. Because nobody listens to those people.
I mean, I understand the feeling,
mm-hmm.
which is what I think that you're.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
But the fact of the matter too can't be ignored in the idea that if you want something done, stop acting like you're so shocked when it isn't. See, once you, it is a saying, once you know, you can't go back to not knowing.
Right. Right. Right.
So just, let's just take the fact that Joy and Biden were down there. You see what you see. You appoint somebody special to get the job done. Because, and then don't give it to the states, because honestly, if they were given something and they didn't do what they had to do, then, oh, well, they wouldn't get it anymore.
Well, they do have appointees, but I'm just talking about the footwork.
The footwork can be done from a federal level if you want something done. If you see clearly that in states, because, you know, it's the bullshit, you know. It's the bullshit. I've worked at federal levels. I've worked at city levels. I've worked at state levels. It's the bullshit. The state don't want to be bothered with it until the city gets their asses kicked. And then all of a sudden, the state has to be official again and see what's going on in the city. We got to audit this.
Mm-hmm. Everything gets audited, right?
Everything gets audited, but it gets audited in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Federal, send it to the state. The state, send it to the city. The city,
send it to the county.
The nonprofits or the counties, and that's mm-hmm. the way it goes. So at the end of the day, the only override in that is federal. They can override the entire thing. But once you know them, meaning these two people, this person that left his desk was the federal level. Once the federal level knows that there is a serious situation going on, they can either lean on very hard or send somebody to do the city right. Because y'all know that, listen, it used to be funny to me when state employees would come in and we're just checking what the city's doing. Okay. How often do they come visit? Every year. And what do they look for? Literally asking you questions
mm-hmm,
to make
mm-hmm.
sure that the city is doing their job. And my thing is, this could all be gone if you would just all make sure, if you put in an accountability office, that's it. You know, once Biden leaves his seat, it's a wrap, because he should never be on the ground floor doing that.
No,
kind of
it was not him. I said it was the VP.
Oh, the VP? Who's the VP?
At the Kamala.
Oh, Kamala and Joy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She shouldn't be leaving a seat either for that.
To meet with the people? To meet with the people? I'm not saying, look, wait. First, I don't know specifically everything that they talked about. And what triggered it. And I don't know all of that because I was in my car listening to Joy discuss. Well, first there was parts of an interview that she was doing with her, and then she was talking about being there and meeting with the people and how excited the people were, and what it was, what she saw transpire between the VP and the people. That's what Joy was recounting.
Okay.
Which is something that, for me, just thinking about it, if I'm those people, you barely get to meet your mayor. Comes, you know, for them, that's a big damn deal.
Okay.
And I don't know all of, but it also.
Are these nooks and crannies where people are doing voting?
What do you mean? Are they nooks and crannies where
votes are desired?
I think votes are desired everywhere.
Yeah,
but I don't think that. Okay, so one of the things that Joy and whoever she was talking to, I don't remember who that was, were talking about was, why is it that states like Mississippi, the Democratic Party doesn't sue for votes because they're seen as red states. You can't change that state. You can't flip it from, it's not purple enough to flip from red to blue. It's a deep red state, right? So I'm not going to say she wasn't pandering for votes. I think she wants everybody to vote for them. You know, why would she not want them to vote for her? But I don't think it's a state or a county that would make much of a difference if they all voted for her or not, or, you know, because the state is so heavily Republican. Most black people in Mississippi still voting Republican. So I don't think it was that.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that except that this Republican Party right now is all about the re-enslavement of brown and black people. They want to take away the vote. That's what's wrong with that. Why are you going to vote for somebody that don't want you to vote? They're doing everything in their power to stop black and brown people from being able to vote. So why would you vote for somebody? Why would you vote for anybody who is, and this is my opinion, who is clearly verbally anti you? So that's what I think is wrong with that. Let's just say if there's a Republican in their county who is contrary to the current Republican Party, then fine, vote for him. Who gives a shit? If he's for you, if he's for your interests, then vote for him. I don't care if it's a R, a D, a I, a P, or a Q in front of their political affiliation if they're doing the right thing. But this political party that's calling themselves Republican, that is no longer working as Republicans, they're working as fucking QAnons. Yeah, I have a problem with that. Because these are the very same people we were talking about at the top, about if a 12-year-old is raped and pregnant, she's not able to get an abortion. And her rapist family can sue her mother and father if they get her an abortion. And these are the Republicans standing around talking about this child or a woman. And they are the same ones that are saying don't say gay, which is fucking hilarious that you put the word gay in the name of the bill. So if I want to talk about your don't say gay bill, I have to say gay. Dumb fuck. These people are fucking ridiculous. And yes, I have an issue with voting for these fucking people.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get a backdoor dupe successfully. All you have to do, and Javon, that was brilliant. That was
I'm
brilliant.
Not your friend anymore.
That was brilliant. All you have to do is
I am not her friend. I am
with that. And she can spell it all out and save you all of the work. And there it is. Thank you. See there? See there? And there.
Music break.
Love, don't think too hard, let it flow. Love, don't hold too tight, let it go. You know I love the light, love the light, love the light. I love the light that we share. And yes, I love the light, love the light. Knowing that you're there. We can fly, 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 we can fly.
That is Shanice featuring B. Slade. What? Okay, just a reminder, the views, information, or opinions expressed during Brunch in the Basement series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WJBR Internet Radio. We have a caller, 8882, or the last four digits of your number with your name, and where are you calling from?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don James, CEO. Shouts out to you and the Basement family for holding us down this Saturday morning. I've been listening to y'all kick some real good knowledge and wisdom. It's deep, man. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. We about to get back moving. So I'm calling from Sunny Mesa, Arizona. I'm feeling good today. I just turned 44. It's just been an amazing year.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
You made it.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. But, yeah, y'all been on fire, man. I've been listening to the whole show. I've been telling people and texting them to come on in because I really like the part about how y'all giving back to the community and making sure that y'all putting the wisdom out there for people to digest it whenever they have opportunity to download and listen to a playback. So that's a real good thing.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Man, well, you know how we get down, man.
We've
been running those 365 days of radio campaign, and we moving all across the globe. So I just want to tell everybody out there in radio land, if you understand my voice, press the number one button on your keypad so you can get involved with the conversation. Don't just be a fly on the wall. Let us know who you are. You get what I'm saying? So that's all I got to say.
That's what's up. Thank you so much. I appreciate
yes,
you
ma'am.
Always have and always will.
Amen. Well, I'll be here. I'll be listening the rest of the show. But I definitely want the winning team to decode and let me know who got the text message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. All right. Well, you know, if they come through, obviously, as you know, we will put them on the horn.
Amen. Thank you so much for being on your job.
All right, baby. You keep listening, and thank you. Have a blessed day.
I'm going to be right here. You too.
All right. And happy birthday, bro.
Thank you.
Peace.
It is a blessing to have another year around the sun. And I say if you weren't a birthday person before or someone who celebrated birthdays or celebrated life, how about that?
Yeah.
Try to do so because we see every day reasons that people are just for no. You know, I know personally, I'm affected by so many deaths. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, you don't question, I mean, at least I don't question God's will, but I have a definite time with my flesh in terms of just being able to process like what is happening sometimes, you know. And with that, I'd just like to say I'm just sending out special prayers of comfort to the family, friends, and community of A.J. Crimson. Still having a hard time processing that. Very young, virile, beautiful, smart, talented, and gone.
sending prayers of comfort to the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your mom?
It's a lot. I'm your friend again. It's okay. You can call my name.
Okay. Because there's no backseat anyway. So.
I know.
But, you know, you just learn to say, okay, I'll give her a minute. Or give her a minute. Because there's no backseat. So,
I know. Wouldn't want it any other way. Wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, despite what you may feel at times,
feelings.
There are a massive amount of people who cannot connect nerve endings in their way of being and managing and being responsible for roles that they have in society when it comes down to, you know, making sure everybody gets covered. So, unfortunately, a lot of people behind these desks making decisions for large amounts of people do not, will not, have not associated with, don't have too many around them. You know, it's odd. These people are an anomaly in most cases. But then you're responsible for governing, you know, the existence or through the process for others. And if you can't connect to others, I don't care what the paper says, because 90% of them ain't reading the paper and know how. It's going solely on what they think about the population that they're charged with serving.
Yeah.
And it's just that.
Yep.
Now, you know you can go in your own hood and sort through folk quickly, but they don't have a clue what they're sorting through. When they go through, they sort through resources, you know, they sort through housing, they sort through like accessibility, you know, these are what these conversations are like in these rooms. You know, we don't care about who's currently populating the area. Is it close to, how do we market this area? And what do we need to do to clear it so that we can market it, resell it? Is it near airports? Trains, planes, buses, how quickly can you get out? How quickly can you get in? These are those conversations, like people and who's in them rarely comes up. They're like, okay, who controls these certain neighborhoods? Who are the council people in the areas? Who are the, you know, who represents what? And after they figure that out, and if the people aren't strong.
And how much will it cost us to buy it and build it and rebuild it?
Exactly. And it's
and how really, much do we stand to earn if we do it?
Absolutely. The conversation about who's living there, they don't care.
Yep.
And this has been going on from the beginning of time when we first laid stake on the Americas. This is the same formula, good people. It hasn't changed.
Yep.
Same formula. True. Discovering shit that ain't yours.
Yep.
With people on it. Same formula. Not even that sophisticated. It can't be.
You ever see that TikTok where the guy's in the car and he's like, what you mean? Get out the car. Like, this is a stolen car. No. You're wrong, officer. Yeah. I didn't steal this car. I discover it.
Right. He's got two, in fact. He's got two. He's got one where it says when you took the stop sign.
Mm-mm. I don't think nothing.
I don't think nothing. It's right there.
It's still
my
right
God.
There. Exactly.
Yeah, you too.
Very clever. There's so much clever creativity out there to talk that shows us where we are socially. And I just hope that the things that are on social media, the good things, or the things that speak to the truth, some kind of way survive, you know, long term, because history books are not going to necessarily, we have experience in that, you know, it tells a partial truth and partial whitewash and leaves out a whole bunch of necessary facts.
Well, I think, at least I pray that we have become much more astute with, having to understand that information has many, 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 many depots.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if you are still in this lifetime, and particularly as an adult, and I say because, you know, children may have to, this may have to be a skill set that children learn. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, if you are getting information from one side, from one situation, from one...
Or from one book.
One book.
One channel.
Out of your mind. You are out of your mind.
Yeah, you got to weigh it all.
If you're in the way, business, otherwise leave it alone. But yep. If you're forming opinions on things and on based on one situation,
yeah,
on one side of just one conduit of information, you are fucked.
Yep.
In fact, that's the biggest to me. That is the biggest.
Yeah, you have to be able to look at both sides of the situation and see what rings true, what makes more sense. And a lot of shit. Like, as a matter of fact, last night we were having a discussion about mixing, right? Hey, Simone, Dr. Simone in the house.
Simone.
I was thinking about you this morning. So we were having a discussion last night about DJing and mixing. And I was explaining to one of the people at the table who I'm really kind of still in the get to know, you know, that, you know, because of the music that you were playing, you know. Yeah, I'm from the Bronx and, you know, DJing, that's where it came from because he's also a DJ, you know. And he was like, well, no, it started in Studio 54. And I said, really? How so? And he started, you know, explaining who told him and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what year would that have been? And he started talking about the year. And so I explained to him, you know, and told him my truth, which is that I was about 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, when the guys from the neighborhood in the Bronx started bringing the turntables into the park right outside and started mixing, started doing it. I remember I used to hang out with Bambaataa, Africa Bambaataa, in his house while he chewed on a damn steak. And
stealing power.
Yeah. And I said, so the reason that they would, now what they would do is they would take the break part of the song,
mm-hmm.
the instrumental part, mm-hmm. or the initially, or the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and they would make it repeat over and over again and scratch that up in addition to it, and they would extend it so that they could rap over it, so that they could do rhymes over it.
Correct.
And eventually, the extension of the song started sounding so fierce that sometimes they would just do that. And then if a song would skip, it sound crazy. And because they were taking the bridge part, like let's just say a song like I'd Like to Make It Right or whatever the song is. If you mix that part over and over again, if it skipped over and over again and then ended up with that funky bridge part, That was to die for.
Through the tape.
Yeah, okay. And then you could do
mark the record.
Yeah, so I said, why would they do that in Studio 54? Why would they come up with that? And I said, and the dudes that I was hanging out with in the Bronx, I can guarantee you, they were not in Studio 54. They would not have been allowed in during that period of time. So it's not like they got it from Studio 54, but we know historically what happens when people of means go to the hood. They see something and they steal something. They see something they like and they take it home. So if anything, we couldn't even get in there to figure out what they was doing and bring it to the hood in the other way, just like the moonwalk, which even I would say, you know, talk about the guys in the village that was moonwalking, but it goes all the way back to vaudeville, you know? So
Studio 54 ain't starting nothing.
You know what I'm saying? But a cocaine habit. Somebody. And an orgy. We ain't mad at you, but I'm just saying. Yeah. So Garage, Better Days.
No, Larry Levan was at the Garage.
Yes,
and
Garage.
A few other clubs, but most famously at the
Garage. At the Garage.
And here's another piece. Thanks for saying that part, because even it is a well-known fact that mixes that would be created in some of the clubs, and I'll speak specifically about the Garage because I can, the radio would then come and hang out and then have the mix or have something going on.
Yep.
On this day. Frankie Crocker was known for coming to the Paradise Garage and
yep.
getting mixes. And he
Frankie
didn't,
Crocker,
didn't
Chief Crocker, for those
Chief
of you who
Crocker.
Don't know.
The legendary, there I go, guy.
You know?
The legendary Frankie Crocker would often come to, and he didn't care after a while. Initially, it was kind of shady because he didn't necessarily tell folks where the mixes came from. And see, the thing is, you know, back then, certain DJs, and we had quite a few of them that were on the underground scene that way, credit was everything. It still is. You know, give me my credit for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Hell, mention on the radio back in the day goes a long way.
Yeah.
Now it's a little homogenized, but back in the day, you know, for Frankie Crocker, because, you know, we have personalities, radio personalities that ran these stations for a long time that created quite a movement. Frankie Crocker was one of them.
What you know about Cool Herc, Dr. Simone? What you
cool
know about?
Herc.
What
yes.
you know about that, Dr. Simone? She a baby. She don't know about that. What you know about that? What you know about that, Simone? That's what's up. But yeah, man, those were some great fucking days. Days, yeah. Great times. Yeah, when Martha Wash was on the show, tried to get her to delve a little more deeply into the whole thing with Black Box and CC Music, CNC Music Factory.
Every time I hear, I was at the Topps Diner a couple of weeks back, and Martha's CC Music Factory song came on, and I'm listening to how they when it got to the at the end her scat, and I'm saying, man, they just she's all up and through and drives the song her voice is an instrument, but just drives the entire song. And I thought about what would that song be like without her voice. Nothing, not too much.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
no.
I'm just, you know, like, I was talking to another friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a very long time, talking about house music, and, you know, it's so interesting how folks are quick to discard the legends in the game. And I'm like, y'all go, see, that's the reason why y'all keep repeating the same shit, because you don't get it. You're not getting it.
And not only, I mean, yeah.
You keep repeating the same hard-headed ass lessons because you're not getting it. Yes, she
yes,
was.
Yes, she was. Look at you. Look at you knowing something about the legends. Go ahead. Go ahead with your young self, with your young bad self. Uh-huh.
And if your mothers were blasting the music, thank God for them, because that's
exactly.
music. That's when you had things like bass lines and, you know, you had bands that, you know, recorded music and separated tracks, and everybody wasn't pushing buttons to get sounds, you know?
Exactly.
I just want kids to know that, you know, these sounds come from actual instruments that people play with their hands, you know, not create with machines, because that's what it is now.
Exactly. Let's since we're talking about her, let's play Martha Wash's Rapid Fire right quick.
Why oh,
not? Let's do
no.
that. Let's share it. Let's see. You got to do that. Why can't it just be as simple as I just drag it on over? Why can't we do that? But no. Here we go. Martha Wash, Rapid Fire. Take one.
Take one.
Hi, this is Martha Wash, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Ms. Wash, we have a game that we like to play on this show. It's called Rapid Fire.
Okay.
And it's a word association game, right? Mm-hmm. That we play with all of our guests. And it just gives our audience an opportunity to look behind the veil. It's like a little peek behind mm-hmm. the veil going on. So how it works is I'll say a word, and you say what immediately comes to mind. I'll pick five words. It's like a call and response. I'll pick five words, and then Javon will pick five words.
Okay.
Yeah? All right. This is going to be different because I'm going to ask this question. Analog or digital?
Analog.
God.
Yes.
Touring.
Hard.
Sylvester.
Fond memories.
Paradise Garage.
Yes!
Fond memories, huh?
Disco.
Yeah.
That's mine right there. That's mine right there. Javon, you're up next.
Okay. I will go with music.
Life.
Harmony.
Beautiful.
Success.
I guess I'm not that rapid anymore. Lord. I'll take it.
Black people.
My people.
Voice.
Ooh, that could go a couple of different ways.
Well, what was the first word?
I want to say beautiful as well, because that can go in a whole lot of different directions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to steal one more. Love.
We all need.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Because I put out music, and the first thing somebody says, well, where's the remix? Ain't no damn remix. Appreciate what I have put out here now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The thing is, I never, ever wanted to be just categorized into one particular genre of music, because I grew up listening to different kinds of music. Now, as a child, I could only listen to gospel music because it was a very strict religious household. I started sneaking in 45s into my house through my book bag, you know, and listening to the radio on my transistor.
Tell it.
Folks know what I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, the youngins, they don't know nothing about that. You know, but that's how I learned about appreciating different kinds of music. So.
Hey, you know what? I want to shout out a couple of people who are watching the show on my personal Facebook page. That is my homegirl, Sheila Shishi from the Bronx. She's like putting these comments like that I didn't see previously because she's on Facebook. Now, Sheila and Paula Smith.
Simone.
And anybody else who's watching on Facebook, yes, Dr. Simone, check us out on our YouTube page because this is what you're watching now is the second Facebook Live because Facebook has already cut us off on the first rendition because I played a song that I shouldn't have played. And as soon as they cut me off, then Warner Brothers send something saying, oh, no, they have permission to play it. It's okay. But they had already stopped the feed.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to stop being cut off, just watch us, join us on WJBR Internet Radio on YouTube. I'll put it up on the thing there for everybody to see. But Sheila had some great comments, and that's also why I can't put your comments up on the screen, which I can see you following along. Paula said, good morning. How you doing, baby? And Sheila is like, hey, mama, that's my homegirl from back in the day. Now, when I talk about being a kid in the Bronx,
yeah,
where they were having jams in the park, her baby daddy is Bruce that I speak about a lot, and we got to have him come through. Mixmaster Bruce is what his DJ name was back then. And for those of us who know him well and love him, we call him Noonie. But, you know, everybody got the little nickname. But so she's like, yes, it was definitely the Boogie Down. That's Bull, in other words, in terms of Studio 54. And she was agreeing with either me or you, saying, yes, ma'am. And she was like, yeah, Mixmaster Bruce. You know, shout out to you, Noon. And she said, I dated his cousin, Ronnie Ron. She might be talking about Bambada because I believe Sheila was there when I was in hanging out with him. So she may have been dating his brother. She's laughing out loud probably at that point about the steak because Bambada was always eating something. And yes, the Disco Fever, Make You Want to Leave Her. That's where we used to hang out. And you would see
one and two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you would find the likes of, Cowboy and, what's his name? Flash and all of those people, Starsky, you know, all of those DJs that when you hear originals, but you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, they used to hang out with us at the Disco Fever. And Chris is saying, hey, Jay, Chris, check us out on YouTube.
Yes, please.
So go to YouTube now. I'm going to type up and put it up there because they had cut us off, so I had to cut. That's one of the Tammy Too Much things that I be doing is I see when they disconnect us from YouTube, I mean from the feed from Facebook, and then I shut it all down. If y'all want to shut it down, then you know we shut it down and then I restart it, you know. But I'm not going to allow them to stop me from playing what we want to play and saying what we want to say and doing what we want to do. We have license, pay for that shit monthly, trust me, okay? So let's, you know, don't. And then the thing is, they don't wait to see if Warner Brothers, Sony, and those types give them a few minutes and they will let you know whether or not there's permission.
You know what? You know why that is? Actually, I found out.
Tell
that
me.
It all boils down to pretty much everybody wanting to be the monopoly.
Mm.
So what happens is you don't feel like you need to synchronize and do joint partnerships with people. So you just operate on your own and then let them tell you. There is a mechanism, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have to subscribe to it. You know, they stop it, and then it triggers another department that triggers another department, and then that goes outside.
Right.
I'm trying to get this amazing woman, Jacqueline Camp.
Okay.
Works in, I forget the exact departments, I don't want to say, but she works for Facebook. Just to talk about works for, what is it called now?
Meta,
yes. And I want to see if we can get Miss Jackie on.
That'd be great.
You know, because it's hard to talk about your employer when you're actively employed. But, you know, she may be able to shed some light on how we talk about stuff.
Yeah, and maybe there's another license that we can get.
I don't think it's from Meta.
Or, you know, maybe, or some way we can get it in their database that we have license, and so...
Meta doesn't control the music, you know. They just trying to not be a third-party lawsuit to it.
Right,
you know?
So what I'm proposing is that they create some kind of list of radio stations, broadcasts, or whatever that are licensed via, you know, ASCAP, mm-hmm. BMI, et cetera. And, you know, leave those folks alone.
Yeah, they're too busy trying to run the world.
Exactly. But yeah, that was fun. I don't know.
Yes. So the moral of the story is, no, DJing, scratching did not start at Studio 54.
That's right.
In fact, they weren't even doing much scratching at Studio 54, honestly. Anyway, they weren't. They're playing straight up records, and that was, you know, and the straight up, they were playing straight up records and straight up pool in there, you know, and good times had by all. Good times had by all, you know.
Yeah. Orgies. From what I hear.
I never saw any of that. Or I'm just trying to figure out where would that have been done. Don't get me wrong. There were a lot of things going on in there. I never saw that.
Well, maybe it wasn't on the dance floor.
I don't know.
I mean, I wasn't there. So, I never got in. I never even tried, to be honest. I was never interested. But like that. But, you know, when you look at these documentaries and stuff and people say that that's what they were doing. So, yeah, I believe them. It was the 70s. Everybody was butt naked creating brand new diseases. Yeah, creating brand new diseases for us all to suffer through the decades, you know. The fuck? They was doing something.
Yeah, it was an interesting time, but you know, yeah, it was an interesting time. You know, like even other clubs, like, you know, Better Days and
yeah, just, Better Days.
You know, back then it was a lot more liberated. You know, certain places. You know, we had open bathhouses and things. I mean, we still do, but they're not as conspicuous as they once were.
Yeah,
know?
Bathhouses. Yeah.
Bananas.
A lot of bananas in the bathhouses.
Yeah. Then you had the AIDS epidemic hit and wipe out quite a bit of that.
Oh, my God. So many people. So many good people.
The creative industry took a hit hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, but, you know, just in pockets of people, demographics, communities of color were devastated.
Yeah. And if you recall, the president at that time wouldn't even say HIV or AIDS. and they called it a gay cancer.
Jungle fungal.
Although everybody was getting it.
Well, you know, it's like it in many ways, but I could tell you who was at the helm of the CDC then.
Who was that? Fauci?
None other than Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci.
And
it's actually been around since the leper disease in B.C.
And let me tell you something, and this is why you need to listen to what people call old heads or OGs or whatever you want to call them, because, you know, as reference for some damn history that you may not know nothing about. See, folks think that this is happening to them for the first time. There are a lot of people on this planet that get their presence confused with the main event. But what some of us are able to do, you know, is say, hey, you know, because I was actively involved in the pandemic called HIV jungle fungal. It had many names in the beginning.
I never
all
heard
I knew
that was, name, the jungle. I never heard that before.
Yeah. And, you know, because it was supposed to have been from Africa, from monkeys.
I remember that.
So, you know, it's supposed to have been from a whole lot of places, you know, that... You know, it's interesting what they want to push, what propaganda they want to push. But anyway, he was at the helm then. And what I saw when I was still in my mind one of the days where the pandemic was just being a little overwhelming, I said, wow, this bears a striking resemblance to AZT and when he was pushing that pill. And as people sought to get the AZT because it was the only thing that would save their lives.
First drug available, right?
And marketed as the only thing that would save their lives. If you didn't get the AZT, you need to get it now and short supply and we got supply and get the AZT. Yeah. And that AZT was killing folks. Folks were having heart issues. We walk around a room, specifically one of my friends that was positive, and he was begging for this AZT and finally got it at St. Vincent's Hospital in New York. And almost the first thing we started to notice is his lower extremity starting to swell. Like he looked like he had elephantitis. It was just trunked, you know. And when they released him, we were walking. And he could barely move his extremities because everything was swelling. So you talk about myocarditis back then.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it was killing people's hearts.
So then, why didn't the people, like, if they were having a bad reaction to it, why did people not like stop you? Like,
well,
if you're being prescribed a drug, and even if that drug is a drug that counteracts some other something that you have, but you're having a bad reaction to it, you are typically taking off that drug.
Think about it this way. Typically now, but think of it this way. You're in the hospital with a disease that is ravishing your body. In some cases, folks were having the AIDS-related Kaposi sarcoma cancer.
Yeah, that's the one where they were getting
the blotches.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember.
And you are wasting. So they start to pump you with things that fill you up. And to the point where you can now open your eyes, you can swallow, you can do things like that. The blotches are clearing up. They're doing different things with this AZT stuff. So it comes off being your friend. It changes what you felt like. You
right.
Know?
It makes you feel better.
But like,
it was also destroying other things in your body.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So yeah. It took a while. And then now, though, thank God, there are medications that wipe out any signs.
It is the medications that put it like this, meaning my point behind all of this was that there are a lot of people that were sacrificed, and I don't mean deliberately so, but I mean when you just don't know, you just don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know. And had to take things and be a part of that front line that got us to where we are now.
Yeah.
And like I said, it just, to me, it had a striking
resemblance to the way the current vaccine situation is going on. And I think the same thing probably initially happened with the polio vaccines and all the other vaccines that came out, you know, as diseases flourished. You know, they, unfortunately, I don't think that, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor, so I can't really say. And you would hope that there's enough of a test. But with this thing, there was no, the whole thing was mishandled from day one. The whole thing was botched. Whole thing was just ridiculous and fucked up the way it went down. We lost far too many people.
And to think now that, you know, it went from 1 million pills that you had to take, not literally, I'm just talking, you know, figuratively, and now you can take one.
Yeah.
And things like PrEP exist, you know, and exposure.
Yeah.
And yes, Tiffany, I'm with you on that. I'm not really big into taking medications.
And pharmaceutical companies is a business that makes money off of sick people. Absolutely. Just like funeral parlors is a business that make money off of people who die. There's a damn business in everything. And really, I mean,
get you some business.
Right. But that's number one. But my personal opinion about even funeral parlors, I think that people should be able to bury their loved ones with dignity for free. That's me. First of all, you'll bury a dog for free.
However,
I think so. I mean, they won't let them just sit out in the street and rot. Well, sometimes they do in certain neighborhoods. But in most neighborhoods, they clean it up, right? So I'm just saying that there's just some businesses that should not be businesses.
Mm.
I think that very much like our neighbors in Canada, medical medicine should be free. I think that all research money should go into researching cancer. I'm so sick of that C bitch by now.
Mm.
It's been far too long. Get it together. You already have the cure. Let it out.
Stop
all this money. If you can keep a dick hard for 4 hours, you can cure cancer,
whoop,
bitch.
Whoop.
Okay, and we're coming to the end. Are we at the end of the show yet? I'm losing it.
You said what she said. You know, it's so funny because, you know, that's why it's so weird to me. Because quite frankly, there's nothing different between pharmaceutical companies and the street pharmacists that we have standing on every corner. The money is in the comeback. Why would they cure something that they need the money? Like, why would I tell you not to be addicted to something if I'm selling you what it is to cure you? And that's where the money is. The money is in the comeback. And yes, I believe they have a cure for a lot of this stuff that they created to begin with. You know, a lot of it, I believe, you know, Dr. Sibby is essential reading. He was able to cure the body. And shout out to Malak that's still actively doing that on Montague Street in Brooklyn. The Fig Tree, I want to say. The Fig Tree is the name of the place. But that's Dr. Sibby's first wife. She's still doing the work, and she's in a shop on Montague Street in Brooklyn. Now, you may not get an appointment with her because she's always, always, always booked and busy, but she has several people in her office that can help. I'm just going to put that out there. The Fig Tree, I believe it's called. But you can check it out. You can Google it and get the information from it. But, you know, and a lot of it has to do with what you put in your mouth. But, you know, because you know, you got people like Bill Gates now trying to control all of the farmland across the country. You really have to just be careful. But the idea is this, good people. If you can get your own little square of something and plant your own shit and eat it, because in a minute, everything is going to be mechanically engineered, and you won't know a pickle from a eggplant, you know, because it's on its way now. But just make sure that you keep yourself straight and informed.
That's it.
Well, I don't know about keeping yourself straight, but keep yourself informed.
Well, you know, as in...
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Too.
Yeah.
Listen, in the spirit of Studio 54 in the garage, can I tell you these comments are bananas and give me so much life.
Oh, shit. Wait, you said that part, Stephanie. What?
Listen, this chatterboxes are on fire today.
What is wrong with y'all?
Dr. Simone, your mind was corrupt at five? Five? I got to see a picture. I got to see a picture of you at five.
Lord.
You said Lord?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I said Lord. L-O-R-D-T.
You saw a picture of Dr. Simone at five?
No, I have not. That I have not seen. I've seen a picture of her at about 12 or 13, something like that, maybe.
I saw your face. You needed that.
I've seen that one.
Yes.
Lord.
Yes. We've all seen that one. Beautiful, beautiful nail polish.
Yes, it's the nail polish for me.
Dr. Simone, you fine fucker, you.
You are fine. She knows she fine. She, girl, and she's smart, and she's funny as fuck, and I will be seeing her tonight, okay?
Whole lot of energy. We love that.
Oh, my God. The best energy, pure fun. Good peeps.
Nice.
So I will see her tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Y'all going to hang out? You hanging out 2 days in a row?
You know, I'm coming out the basement out this motherfucker.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Suki. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm going to be out again on Sunday.
You're making a weekend run?
Yep. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know that is not my stilo,
they're
but
they're not ready. That's what I'm saying. They're not ready.
Yeah, they're not ready. I'm not ready, but I'm gonna come out and don't get yourself in trouble, cousin. but she fine. Silky milky, yeah. Oh my God. I'm healthy jealous of that picture. I'm not jealous at all. I ain't mad at all. I'm impressed as fuck. I'll say that.
Listen, I say this.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. What are you going to say?
I just, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine who you also know. And she was showing me a picture of her daughter. She was in a picture with her mother, her daughter, granddaughters. And can I tell you that this was probably one of the most beautiful generational pictures in one photo? Her brother, I believe, was also in the photo, yes.
Wow.
They were all looking like the mother, what she passed to her daughter, who I was talking to, who then passed it to her children, they all are, like, just beautiful. And you can't tell if she said she had a 41-year-old daughter. I said, what part is that when you're looking less than that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I flashed back, and I had to pause for a second. I said to myself, this is why they hate us.
It's true.
She's so fucking magical.
It's true.
You know, and it's just, and she's sitting there giggling at the bar, and I'm like, no, but this is so serious right now, because it's just, like, you just showed me a generational picture. These are all mine. And I was like, you stand next to your daughter, and you can't tell who's who. And then your grandchildren.
Yep.
Just, I can't. I get it.
Yeah. Actually, to answer you on that, Tiffany, she is even more beautiful on the inside. She is a really good person. And that's why she stays beautiful in my eyes. I know some fine women that are not nice, and they are no friends of mine. I don't want to be around them. As much as I love being around beautiful, fine-ass women, if you are not kind in your spirit, I don't want no parts of you. I find you unattractive. As fine as I can see the physical, what makes people attracted to you, but I don't want no part of that shit. I can't. I don't got no time for it. I'm too good for that. So if you find walking around here smelling your own ass, keep sniffing that shit away from me. I don't like pretty ugly women either. I cannot stand it really annoys me because I'm like, all that fine going to waste. You could have made that really nice ugly duckling fine.
Well, I believe that the concept of fine starts, I mean, outside genetics that you enhance are beautiful, you know, but it really starts at that soul level, you know. What's in your core?
Yeah.
What is your core? Because that's what seeps out, and sometimes your core matches the outside. You know, if your core is rotten on the outside, it shows up on the, on the inside, it shows up on the outside. It just does. And like I said at the top of the show, Lakaja Fall, you can get all kinds of needy, emotional, broken folks wrapped around your bullshit. And so you fix it.
Exactly.
And then you can do.
Exactly.
Masquerading as something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Girl.
Yep. So we have come, I believe, to the end of our Saturday production. Just a reminder, there will be no show on Wednesday night. We will put up a previous show, an interview probably. I'm going to look at the Steve Arrington one that you suggested to see how long it is and how much editing I have. The reason I'm going to look at how much editing, and the reason why I can't do a live show is because we're having our auditing, our version of auditing on Thursday. And so, so that means I'll be doing a lot of work, which means if his interview was any longer than an hour, then I have to sift through it, cut through it, see what has to stay, what has to be. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that, and I'm trying to be social this weekend. So it would be kind of, yeah. So I'm going to try. I'm going to look at it, though. I'll look to see what it is, and then I'll do that. If not, I'll find something else that's an hour, and when I have time, I'll definitely chop his up. In the meanwhile, in between time, everybody be safe. And
happy Saturday.
Yes, what Therese said. And peace, party people.
See you later.
What's up, y'all? This is Dawn Robinson, formerly of In Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese. My girls! I love y'all.
Hi, this is Mason, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
It is Leon. It's like Leon from some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in the basement with Therese and Javon. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see, that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She just, she wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
All our office, though, Jay.
I'll send you some cologne, just in case I should meet Chaka Khan, I want to smell really nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing. Mm-hmm.